Hi, everyone. It's Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com. You are about to listen to Zach on Film, where we are going to talk about Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, the brand new movie that just came out yesterday, today, last week, depending on when you're listening. Hello, future people. Critics who have reviewed this movie have been embargoed to not include spoilers. We signed no such agreement. So this podcast is going to be full of spoilers. If you don't want to be spoiled, do not listen to this podcast. In fact, I would suggest don't listen to this podcast until after you have seen Batman v Superman, because there are some really cool parts in this movie and some potential spoiler stuff that could ruin it for you. So don't complain to us if you listen to this episode before you go see that movie. Or maybe you can listen to the first minute or so where we will tell you whether you go and see that movie or not. So without further ado.
And welcome to this week's episode of Zach on Film. I am, of course, that said Zach. Right across the table from me is the one Steven Schleicher.
Hello.
Hello, Steven. Next to him, the one and only, the infamous Rob.
Hi.
Hey, Rob. Special guest this week on the podcast, taking it wicka younger than me. What's up, Mason?
Hey.
Hey. Mason is joining us. He was on a film a while ago. What was it?
Yeah,
it
was the last one that you did. Was it, it was the brain one. It was the Inside Out.
Yeah.
I think you did that one.
And of course, you did Ant-Man with us.
Oh, you did Ant-Man too?
No, I was in here for Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, the reason why he's here today is because he went and saw Man of Steel.
Oh, right.
And so, of course, he's a big superhero fan, so
yes.
He wanted to see this, right?
Yeah.
All right, Zach, before we get into this, I said that maybe we should just take a moment and everybody just give a non-spoilery, like it, don't like it, see it, don't see it
okay.
comment.
Okay, let's do that. Mason, do you think people should go watch Batman v Superman?
Yes.
Yes, great. Rob, what are your thoughts? Quickly.
Yes.
Wow, that was a weird answer. Steven.
If you like comic book movies and you like DC Comics, I really think you're going to enjoy this movie.
And as for myself, go see it.
Now, just as a counterpoint before everyone is like, "Ooh, you guys don't love DC anyway," I will say that there's a woman who walked out in front of us who said that this was the worst movie she had ever seen.
Oh, wow.
And that it's the worst Batman and or Superman movie she had ever seen.
Interesting.
But which I was said she still had a fun time.
Well, she did say she still had a fun time, even though this is the worst movie she's ever seen.
Well, that says a lot about movies. You can still have fun, even though they could potentially be horrible.
All right, now, spoiler time, right,
okay.
Zach? Where do you want to go?
Well, do we want to start off with the funnies?
Oh,
do we want to start off with the trailers?
Hey, how about this?
Oh, my God, that was amazing.
See, if you hadn't said anything, I would have completely forgot about it.
Okay, no, so it needs to be documented.
So every episode we talk about our horrible AMC experience, right?
Yeah.
This time, it was freaking awesome because lights go down, trailer comes on, and we see trailers for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
yes.
Ghostbusters,
yes.
and X-Men Apocalypse.
Yes.
And then comes up one called, what is it?
Conjuring 2.
Conjuring 2.
First off, it starts. It pans up. I'm like, creepy house, like 1945. I'm like, dear God, why did they put a trailer like this in the movie?
And so I thought it was the remake of The Omen, which is coming out. I thought this was the first trailer for this, but no, it's not. So at the very end of the trailer, for those of you who have not seen this trailer yet, little girl wakes up and all the crosses in the room start turning upside down, turning upside down, turning upside down.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then it pauses. And there's a little dark space. And out of this dark space, something comes out. And knowing that Zach is scared of scary movies, who is the only person in the theater who jumped and screamed? Jumped, ladies and gentlemen, and screamed. Hey, everyone around us was laughing their asses off.
I was honestly expecting something to come through the wall. And then something comes out of the shadows, and I screamed and like jumped up in the air and grabbed my sweater. And there was
Were
someone...
you scared, Mason?
I jumped a little.
Thank you, Mason.
Probably but, not but, as much as...
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Everyone around us was laughing. Someone thanked me and they said I made the night wonderful. They just could not stop laughing. I agree. It was very funny.
It was the best.
All right, now that we got...
Other than that, the only other complaint that I have is toward the end. Sounded like one of their speakers blew because I kept hearing this buzzy sound in the kind of the treble.
I do kind of remember that. but I didn't know if that was just weird sound stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was intentional or not, but that was our AMC experience. Yeah, not horrible this time.
No, it was fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't even know where to start. Wherever you want to start. We got a Batman story at the beginning. We redid the Batman origin, start to fin.
So of all the things that I would have taken out, I would have taken out that opening, let's tell the death of Thomas and Martha Wayne and the finding of the Batcave. I would have taken that out because later in the movie, towards the end, they do that flashback.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would say 90% of audiences know what those flashback images mean. The gun, the pearls, the falling down a well. I think everyone around the world would know that. And I think you could take out that opening sequence, trim the movie up a little bit, but it would still read narratively really well. That being said, it wasn't horrible.
No, it wasn't horrible. I also agreed. I also kind of liked their titles. I was like, oh, the titles are nice. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I'm okay with it.
I didn't like the opening sequence at all.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
you could have gotten rid of it.
With Steven on the everybody knows Batman's origin story. It's been around for almost a friggin' century at this point. More than 75 years.
They did make a nice 1938 reference.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
We don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
And I really, really didn't like how the pearls broke.
It was very CG.
Not even the CG.
The gun.
It got caught on the back of the gun, so when his gun fired and
it broke.
Pulled back, it like.
But
that was so.
So here's the thing, and I know. And here's why I think. First of all, I'll say I think the critics are smoking something because this is a very fun movie.
Let's start there. I think I had no expectations for this film at all. I thought it was going to be garbage from the first trailer. The first sneak peeks we saw, I thought it was going to be fun. First trailer, I thought it looked like garbage.
Yeah.
I had no expectations. The Rotten Tomato score started rolling in late last night. I'm like, oh, yep, that makes sense. 32%. Totally agree.
Is that what it's at now?
I haven't checked it today. That was
I'm
going to
bet
this morning.
That it's going to change once audiences
I think it
see
was,
that.
I think
but
they're
here's,
totally wrong.
Here's the thing. And it's so from comic book fan standpoint, they did a really great job because for those of you who have seen The Dark Knight, have read Dark Knight Returns, that is the sequence in the book where how the pearls and the necklace break. Likewise, later in the movie where the nuke goes off and Superman is getting re-energized by the sun, totally from Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
That being said, if that bothered you, Rob, have you read Dark Knight Returns?
I thought I have.
So,
I don't know. I've watched the animated one that came out a couple years ago.
So, but that then is part of the movie's failing. Is if Zack Snyder was trying to create the comic bookiest of all comic book movies, he'd succeeded.
Mm.
But if it's at the cost of the loss of the audience, which I think is also another big problem in the movie, if it's at the cost of the loss of the audience who is following this, then it does fail. So while I'm super excited about it, I can see why the person in front of us was the worst movie ever because she's not familiar with the source material. And because of that, yes, the movie could be considered a failure and critics could pan it negatively. Now, that being said, Mason knew that Superman was going to die ahead of time, not because he's read Doomsday or The Death of Superman or The Death and Return of Superman or because they've seen it in the cartoons or watched the animated movie, though you probably have seen the animated movie. What gave it away to you, Mason?
When we were opening the two gravity feeds
from the Dice Masters World's Finest, the brand new one from WizKids,
I saw a Doomsday card.
Mm-hmm.
And it had Superman's killer on it, so I knew that when Doomsday got introduced, I knew that Superman is going to be killed in this movie.
Oh, spoiler right there. Superman does die in this movie.
Yes, he does. You keep talking.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say, I was thinking, oh my God, what if they really do kill Superman? And what if Superman in the next movie, and then I forgot. You idiot. You've read this comic. He comes back to life.
Yeah.
I was like, but what if he doesn't?
We also have Man of Steel 2, which is on the slate from Warner Brothers. We have Wonder Woman, which is the next movie that's coming out. In June.
Yeah.
In June?
What?
2017.
Oh, I was like, okay. What?
Yeah, sorry. If they were smart and if they were done shooting everything, they'd get it out this June and just surprise the hell out of everyone. So we do have some time to tell the return of Superman. And if you stay until the very moment when the screen goes black, you will know that Superman's coming back. But again,
yes.
Comic book movie.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the other elephant in the room. Does this movie redeem Man of Steel?
Interesting. And see, that is the point that...
Because that's the whole plot of this movie.
Right. So, when I got interested in this movie is when they showed Bruce watching the destruction of Man of Steel. I'm like, oh, okay, this will be interesting. Mm-hmm. That's when I got it. And so...
I heard of that sequence actually really bothered me.
Really? Why?
They didn't start evacuating till after Bruce Wayne called. Like, the ship is... over the city, dropping down. They're looking out the window as it comes down.
That's several blocks away.
There's an alien attack on Metropolis.
They don't know. They don't know, Rob. It's mass paranoia.
You start seeing stuff, like other buildings falling down outside the windows, and they wait until Bruce Wayne says, get out of there.
There's a really important meeting. There's a really important meeting, Rob.
I don't have a job that is worth my life.
Well, yeah, I mean, unfortunately... We could all look to a real-world example, and we could look at something like that event and say, well, why wasn't the building evacuated? Because they were told to stay in the building, right? Mm-hmm. Many of the people were told to stay in the building until it was clear that it was time to get the F out of the building.
Yeah.
So if we're going to make an allegory to something real-world, and certainly with the events that happened back, what was it, 15 years ago now?
Yeah.
If we're making that comparison, some of the things do make sense in the way that they're telling that story.
I thought the sequence was great because I thought it, while any building falling sequence and it's in America has allusions back to that day, and I thought this definitely did with the crumple of the thing. It was very evident what they were doing. And so, I mean, I thought it played really well when you've seen all the footage from on the street level of the people and how they're reacting. I thought it worked really well.
Did you like that sequence where Bruce Wayne was going into the city and seeing Superman fighting Zod and all the buildings falling down, Mason?
Yeah.
Did that bother you, or did that...
It didn't bother me at all.
Okay. But you know a lot of people were dying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, everyone's big argument is...
Yeah.
All this death and destruction, how is that going to be addressed in this movie? Because how dare you do another movie after all of that death and destruction... and not address this. And they do address this in the fact that the government, or at least the committee, is very much, should Superman be doing all this crap? Should he not be doing all this crap? Does he go unchecked? Look what happened at Metropolis. Can we let this happen again? Let's make Superman answerable to his crimes. And because Lex Luthor is the ultimate villain in this and really plans things out 10 steps ahead, he finds a Wayne employee, which is... foreshadowed early on in that opening sequence to be his patsy. He's able to connive and convince the senator that he should what she should be doing to put her disruptive, and so it sets that up very well that in order for Superman to answer his crimes, he has to show up to Congress, at which point Lex Luthor blows up the Capitol building. I mean we know it's Lex Luthor,
right?
Everybody else doesn't, but everyone is dead set on this being Superman's fault. And we do see, I think, throughout the course of this movie, Superman weighing the cost of all the lives that were lost because of his actions. Do you agree, Rob?
Yeah. Like, that is... Honestly, it feels like that's 95% of the intent of the movie is to address that.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of it feels like they're not addressing it because that was the intent from the get-go when the entire thing was announced. They're addressing that because that's what... a lot of the critics were complaining about from Man of Steel. And I think, again, we're some of the few people that actually thoroughly enjoyed Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Like, everybody else hated it.
Zach didn't like it.
I fell asleep in it.
Yeah, that's right.
Never watched it again.
But, you and I are some of the few people who actually,
I enjoyed it. Mason enjoyed it.
So I don't know, but it feels like they're... I don't want to say pandering, but the whole reason they're answering those questions isn't because that's what the story they intended.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think that if So if this movie is a direct reaction to the response to Man of Steel and not a long-term plan,
yes.
I still think it worked. Even if it is, I think, because from my standpoint, this movie was just going to be 2 hours of fighting. Mm-hmm. And instead it was, I don't look at my watch, but I think it was like an hour and a half of really honestly addressing that whole narrative of Man of Steel through Bruce Wayne, mm-hmm. through Lex, through
the guy that got his legs chopped
absolutely,
off.
Absolutely. Yeah. Through Superman himself talking mm-hmm. about it. And this was way more of a character movie than I ever thought it would
yeah.
be.
Yeah. I saw Mason, I saw you wiggling around a lot during the movie. Were there some parts that were boring for you?
Sometimes I felt like the movie was just giving out things.
Like what?
Almost like this was happening, then this happened, then this happened.
Oh, they
were
throwing too much information out?
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people have said that a lot of the stuff is very disjointed in the way that the story is told. Like, what's going on with this sequence where it's the desert and Batman's a commando in the desert and these Superman troops show up and all this crazy
well,
stuff?
That one's
I will address that in a moment.
Yeah, let's get to that later.
I will address that in a moment.
But talking about the disjointedness of it. I definitely felt that because they weren't just telling one character story. They were telling Batman's story, Superman's story.
Bruce Wayne's story,
yeah,
too.
And Lex Luthor's story, which was very in-depth.
And Lois Lane's story.
Yeah, and it was jumping around, mm-hmm. and at times, was it sequenced the best and edited tightly and kept in a really flowing manner? I don't think so. I don't think they really nailed sequences together on their own. I honestly thought they were great sequences.
Now, Mason's a young kid and may not know a lot about parallel storytelling or just, you know, flashback storytelling, which a lot of this was going on.
Yeah.
But at the end where it's Clark Kent's funeral,
mm-hmm.
and then we cut to the Lex Luthor in jail with the Batman visit, confused Mason, right? Mason thought it was happening at the same time.
Well, I will agree. I was like, wait. Oh, it took me until after the whole sequence is over, and then you went back to Bruce. I'm like, flashback.
It threw me off right at the when Bruce was leaving the cemetery,
mm-hmm.
and it was into a cornfield.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which, for one, why the crap is it a cornfield and not a wheat field? They're in Kansas.
We do corn.
Eastern Kansas has a lot of corn.
We have a lot of corn.
That's mostly what was when I was growing up.
Yeah, we have a lot of corn.
Sorry, Nebraska.
But Nebraska is all corn.
Get out of here.
Screw you all. I don't think corn. Or I don't think corn when I think of Kansas. I think wheat. Secondly, I honestly thought he was like leaving Wayne, like the gates of Wayne Manor, and that he had planted a field to, he started a farm right there to honor the Kents. Like it was like this. I was like, well, that's kind of nifty. And then in just like the graveyard, I'm like, oh.
Now I see.
So let me ask you this next question, because you said you thought it was going to be a big old fight. Just fight. Bruce Wayne is super conflicted. I mean, he really blames Superman for everything that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And as we find out at the end of the movie, Lex has been manipulating him by sending him messages and doing these things to get him to go after Superman.
Yeah.
Is Batman justified in everything that he's doing in the movie to try to take down Superman?
No.
Oh, why no. Not? I don't think anyone is.
No, I mean, I'm not talking about morally or anything like that, but from the story standpoint, is it set up enough to where you understand why Bruce Wayne / Batman is so angry and wants to bring down Superman?
Yeah, I do. I think so.
Sort of?
I think so because, I mean, I think that is partly why you do need to include the deaths of his parents mm-hmm. at the beginning of the film
mm-hmm.
because it shows his reaction to death and how it's not great and he doesn't like people who cause intentional death, which I think Superman, you could definitely sway that Superman caused a lot of intentional death in Metropolis. And so I think he did. I think he had a reason to hate Superman and want to take him down.
Okay. So what were you going to say, Rob?
A lot of the Batman action sequences lost me.
Why?
He was using lethal ordnance.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
Okay.
How many times did you see Batman actually kill somebody?
A lot of times.
mm-hmm.
not counting the dream desert sequence.
Okay.
Because that was a dream. And if you have a dream of killing someone, does not make you a killer.
Or it could be a flash forward. No one's for sure.
I'll tell you what my theory is in a moment. but I don't think it's a flash forward, and I don't necessarily think that it is a dream sequence.
Rob, but he still killed a lot of people.
In his dream. Okay, tell me where he killed people.
Yeah, small child.
Closer to the end where they saved that one lady.
Martha Kent. Yeah, Superman's mom.
He killed a lot of people.
So let's take a look at that. Did he kill them? Did he knock them out? Batman.
Oh, the guys at the end?
Did he kill the guys that were trying to harm Martha?
He definitely killed one of them.
Which one?
The one with the torch.
No, he shot the tank.
And then it exploded.
He shot the tank, which immediately sprayed into the already lit flame.
I knew that's the one that most people will talk about.
Or how about when he's just dragging a car with his Batmobile and
he bounced the car. He may not have intended to kill them, but he had no idea that the car was going to land exactly where it did.
We also, and I'm being devil's advocate here, so. Mm-hmm.
I also don't care if he killed someone. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Okay. I'm just being devil's advocate.
No, that's fine.
I do believe that there were some deaths directly from his hand. But if you watch that film carefully, you never see anyone in the car.
Right.
You do not know that people are in the car. When the car swings around and hits the back of the tractor-trailer truck, doesn't take anyone out. When you see the car finally flip and land on the other car in front of it, it doesn't land directly on top. It actually lands on the front side.
Because he's going to be able to plan that.
I'm just saying, from the storytelling perspective, if people are so concerned that Batman's killing people left and right, if you go in there, especially during the Martha Kent saving sequence, he doesn't kill anyone until the very end. Again, it's not directly from Dark Knight Returns, but there is a sequence in a Batman story where he is basically put into that situation of, I'm going to kill her, and Batman's like, I know you're going to. He doesn't shoot a person.
Mm-hmm.
He does something else. Very much like we saw in Batman Begins with Ra's al Ghul, where the train's about to run off. He's like, you don't kill people. And he's like, I also don't have to save you either. Mm-hmm. Right? So, in Batman's weird, twisted world, I'm sure he has a justification for killing.
Yeah.
If people are going to point to the desert sequence of Batman killing people, I say, no, that's a dream sequence. Doesn't count. Doesn't count if it's a dream.
I'm not going to argue. No.
I'm sure you have had many dreams.
Necessarily.
I'm sure you have had many dreams where you are the hero of the story, Rob. Unfortunately, it's just a dream.
I'm not going to discount the fact that, those deaths don't count again. Right. Like, that was fine.
Right.
Like, once I realized it was in the not the current story.
Right.
That was fine.
Mm-hmm.
There is the guy with the grenade.
No. Batman just knocked it out of his hand. It was that guy's fault to decide if he wanted to jump for the grenade, which he did.
That guy didn't really have a choice either.
No.
The guy should have pulled the grenade.
The other direction.
No, he was already on the ground.
He could have scampered.
He scampered towards the grenade. Mm. He could have backed up. That's all I'm saying.
Not far enough.
Indirectly, yes. Indirectly, Batman killed a lot of people, and I only counted two people directly that he killed.
Well,
one was the guys in the back of the truck that were shooting the guns at him with the bat plane, and he just totally blew up those trucks.
Yeah, yeah.
The other one would be the guy with the flamethrower.
But when he blew up the flamethrower, it blew up the whole building with all the people in it knocked out.
Oh, yeah, maybe. We don't know.
Probably we're all killed knowing that blew up the building.
Could be. We
Did
don't
it blow
know,
up the
right?
building?
The windows blew out.
Didn't blow up the building, but there was enough flame there.
Another
problem I had with that in that sequence, he takes, two or three bullets to the helmet, and then a knife goes through his chest,
Armor in the valuable place, soft in the other places.
That's not valuable?
I mean, it is, but...
Like, a gunshot wound there is going to take you down.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought it was fine. I mean, people can go in and be super nitpicky. Go watch The Terminator, go watch Die Hard, go watch any other movie that has... Go watch any Sylvester Stallone movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same thing.
Getting riddled with bullets and it doesn't matter.
Right.
He explicitly has armor to deflect this, and then all of a sudden he gets stabbed, and it doesn't make sense there. Like, it pulled me out for a moment again. A lot of Batman's stuff just kept pulling me away from the movie.
So again, before people are like, oh, Steven, he did kill. Listen, I'm being devil's advocate here, so people can't say that we didn't bring it up, and we don't try to justify both sides of the argument. I do believe that he was responsible for people's deaths. On the other hand, Batman in this movie, I felt, for those people who have been watching the Daredevil series, Batman in this film felt very much like the Punisher to me. And maybe it's a product of Batman doing this for 20 years, and he's fed up and tired with everything.
Well, he's branding people. Yeah. That's not great.
No, so I think that he's... I mean, it's definitely a different change. And yes, I know people are going to argue, Batman doesn't use guns, Batman doesn't kill, but yes, I know. That's in the comics. This is a movie. This is somebody else's different interpretation on it. You know, at one point, they had a whole story where Batman was in the Victorian era. It's an Elseworlds story. It's someone's take on that subject. So,
awesome story.
I would have... Yeah, it is. It actually is. Yeah, so I would agree that, yes, Batman is a little unhinged, and he comes off more as the Punisher to me in this movie, which was somewhat of a letdown. That being said, holy crap, I thought Ben Affleck did a fantastic job as
Batman. Oh, frick yeah, he's Batman, man.
Yes, Ben Affleck was a phenomenal choice.
Did you like the guy playing Batman?
Yeah.
Did you like Batman?
Yeah.
There you go.
I did too. I mean, I really thought the character of Batman was, while... dark as a dark knight that he is,
right? And boy, did they bring that knight part up again and again and again in this movie.
I don't feel like he was unwantedly like dark and depressed for unreasonable reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought he had a good story arc. Yeah, there's probably some, if you want to go back to the history of Batman, questionable things Batman did if you go back far enough. But really, I really thought it was a good Batman. I thought it was better than some of the Nolan stuff.
Definitely thought it was better than the third Nolan movie.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that the Dark Knight, the Joker one, is still really a good Batman movie.
Dark Knight is such a great movie. There's
Batman Begins, not so good. I really like Ben Affleck in this, and I think if people are really like, Ben Affleck, I hate Ben Affleck, I'm not going to see this movie because Ben Affleck sucks. He's good in Argo. He was good in Argo. He's good in this movie. He's good in a lot of movies.
He needs to direct his
movie. He was good in Gone Girl.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, and word is he'll be heavily working involved with the Batman movie.
Yeah, that's a great hope and a need.
Yeah.
So give us your grand theory about...
Oh, are we there already?
Well, one more thing.
Okay. There's one other thing before we get into the big scope of this.
Okay.
So the other thing that people complain a lot is, why are Batman and Superman fighting? They don't fight. They're best buddies.
I want to talk about this.
So in the comics...
Yeah.
In the comics, superheroes meet for the first time, and they may have different ideologies.
Mm-hmm.
They may have had somebody's hand been forced.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end, they realize that, oh, we're just being assholes,
mm-hmm.
and we need to work together.
Right.
And from that standpoint, if you go back and read a lot of the Silver Age stuff where they're fighting each other and beating on each other, and Batman and Superman, and during the Silver Age, during the happy time of comics, do fight quite a bit because they're forced to.
Mm.
Sometimes there's a winner, sometimes there's not a winner in this. But what's interesting is this sequence was set up very much like you find in comic books. Lex Luthor has his mom, has Superman's mom, and is threatening to kill if he does not go and kill Batman, right? With the of course, Lex Luthor has this knowledge that Batman has the capabilities of killing Superman, so he's it for the fun. Superman tells Lois... He's like, look, I've got to go and convince him to help me, or I have to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't go just flying off saying, okay, I'm going to kill him like Lex Luthor wants me to, because Superman does say at the very beginning, I don't want to kill you. If I wanted you dead, you would have been dead already.
Right.
And so he's beating him up, trying to convince him that I can defeat you no matter what happens. Mm. And it isn't until he says Martha, which triggers Batman to go, wait a minute, that's my mom's name. Why are you saying her name?
That's my mom.
And then it's explained that he's like, holy crap, here is someone who I blame for killing all these people's death, and I am doing the exact same thing. I'm going to take someone's child, kill someone's child.
Mm-hmm.
Some mother is still alive out there. And he suddenly has this realization that what he's been doing is wrong.
Right.
So from that standpoint, I thought it was very comic book related.
Mm. Well, forget comic book. I feel like it is just a well set up storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think And people are like, Batman, Superman, they're friends. I'm like, have you read a comic? They have different thoughts about freaking everything. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't get along. They have different thoughts. They don't like each other.
No, they, I mean, they I mean, like each I mean, other. But sometimes they, do have, they don't. They do have
even on the Justice League,
yes.
They, like, argue about things.
Right.
So it's not unreasonable.
Right.
Friends fight.
Right.
Right.
But so, they don't beat each other and try to stab each other with the kryptonite spear.
Well, maybe if Rob had superpowers, he would try it every once in a while.
I probably would have to try to take him down, too.
Yeah. See? And so, I mean, I really thought it was set up so well, because it wasn't just, oh, we're going to fight right mm-hmm. now all
mm-hmm.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
Superman was conflicted about Batman. Well, he wasn't at first. He then was at the end, but he was up the whole rest of the movie very conflicted about
mm-hmm.
it. So, I mean, I really thought it was, I was expecting so much more fighting from them, and I love that fight sequence so much, because it wasn't over-the-top craziness.
Mm-hmm.
It was like controlled, obviously because Superman doesn't have his powers, but it was just, I thought that sequence was really well done.
And I like the fact that, again, this movie tries super, super hard to tell people, hey, remember all that destruction we caused last time? Maybe this is the apology that they're doing in it, because the Batman-Superman fight takes place in an abandoned part
yeah.
of the city.
Yeah.
The part where Doomsday destroys some of the buildings in Metropolis. The news anchors are saying it's after hours, so most of downtown
right.
is empty, so very little loss of life.
Right.
Even when Doomsday threw Superman into the building, we saw the facade shatter. We didn't see the building come down.
Right. And when Batman pulls him into the harbor,
mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman's like, what are you doing? He's like, don't worry, it's empty.
Yeah. He specifically yeah. says that. He's like, don't worry, this is empty. And she becomes the voice of the audience in this
mm-hmm.
when she's like, why are you bringing him back into the city? This is essentially screaming what the audience was to say is, this is exactly what happened in Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, it's empty.
Mm-hmm.
It's vacant. Yeah. So it's almost the equivalent of Batman saying rubber bullets, honest.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on that?
The Batman versus Superman fight was very, very comic booky,
mm-hmm.
especially
oh, yeah.
with how much Batman did before he even bothered to take away Superman's powers.
Right.
Like, at the very beginning, instead of having the sonic weapon, which the sonic weapon was fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah.
I can love that they used
yeah,
the sonic weapon against Superman, because
yeah, yeah.
it makes sense. But instead of using the sonic weapon, he could have just doused him with the...
Mm-hmm.
Right then.
Vaporized K,
yeah.
right then and there.
Well, except you got to disorient first so you can't see the next move. Disorient him with the sonics. Disorient him with the guns. Batman knows those aren't going to hurt him. They'll disorient
mm-hmm.
him, so he's not paying attention when he fires the K grenade. Mason, did you like the fight between Batman and Superman?
That I thought to myself, well, this is Batman v. Superman, which... it basically meant that it was Batman versus Superman, but
mm-hmm.
but it barely even talked about them fighting in the movie. It only happened for 5 minutes that
mm-hmm.
they're just punching back
mm-hmm.
and forth.
So do you wish they would have fought for longer for the movie?
A little bit, and also I thought that since it was the title,
mm-hmm.
I think if they were still gonna have everything just exactly like that,
mm-hmm.
they should change the title of their movie.
Mm,
yeah. Well, it is Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, and we talked afterwards about how there's a Justice League movie coming. Question, though. Do you think that, you know, when we talk about Batman vs. Superman, doesn't always have to be about punching with the fists, right?
Yes.
So you can also have disagreements over, well... There's always disagreements over religion. There's disagreements over politics. We can call that doctrine, or we can call that ideology. So Superman has a way of thinking that he should be able to go and save people wherever they need to be saved and do whatever means necessary, short of killing, or killing in cases odd, to help people out. Batman thinks that anyone who has the potential of destroying everyone should be taken down. So they have two different, essentially... thoughts of why each other is wrong. And I'm sure you have this at school with your friends where you think something is right and someone else thinks something is right and you guys might argue over it.
Mm-hmm.
So Batman v Superman is not just a punch-out fight movie. It's also, let's think about this. Let's think about the ideologies of superheroes with powers, people without powers. Where does this structure fall? And a lot of this movie really deals with mythology.
Mm-hmm.
Really deals with, you know, these gods that we have created.
Right.
Elevating mm-hmm. Superman to a god. In fact, Lex Luthor, his whole thing is about putting God in his place.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that very, I mean, there's a lot of symbolism in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To the part that I loved at the very end, I'm jumping around because we, literally, listeners, we just got back from this movie.
Yeah.
The thing that I loved was this, here's Clark Kent, Superman,
mm-hmm.
the most powerful being on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and he's buried in a simple pine box.
Yeah, it's nice.
I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah.
So nice. Made me cry. But going back to the fighting part.
Yeah.
And Mason, do you understand that it doesn't always have to be about fighting with the fists? It can also be about fighting over ideas? Okay.
Well, that's what I actually liked about the film, is that that was the majority of the fight, of them just being like people
mm-hmm.
and not being like super powerful heroes and just kind mm-hmm. of duking it out in this weird thing. Even not even interacting, except that one thing at Lex's party.
Right, right.
Kind of on their own, like mm-hmm. going like mm-hmm. back and forth, back
nice.
And forth.
Some very nice parallel storytelling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really like, you're talking about people fighting with words, and we live in a great democracy where we get to fight, right, or we get to talk about words and not fight in the street and stuff. But it's interesting because the whole point of the Senate hearing committee
mm-hmm.
was to bring Superman in so they
right.
could have this talk about
right.
power struggles mm-hmm. and what you're going to be. And then that whole thing gets usurped by Lex
yep.
and just like blows the whole thing up. Which I thought, just think about that, I'm like, oh, that's really nice, because
we
had like,
you
oh, we're
really
trying
to
do this thing,
right.
and then nothing.
You can really see Lex Luthor, and this, and I think maybe watching this movie a second time would be very useful,
mm-hmm.
because it's not until the end, after the bomb goes off in the Senate, and it's not really the end of the movie, where Lex Luthor kind of reveals all of his plans that I've been doing this all along,
mm-hmm.
but then if you reflect back to further in the movie, you see Lex playing everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, He's basically telling everyone, I know that Clark Kent is Superman because, ow, look at that grip that he has. He's not being,
mm-hmm.
he's not being, you know, jokey. He's being serious and telling people, I know who Superman is. And he's like, hey, Clark Kent and Batman and Bruce Wayne meeting together for the first time. He knows that these two are destined to collide because he knows this. He plays the senator so that she is forcing Superman to come and talk. He plays the guy with the broken legs,
mm-hmm.
and more than likely he's been taking those checks and sending them back to Bruce. He's manipulating everyone's mind throughout this whole movie,
mm-hmm.
and then you know pulls it off.
Two big questions.
Okay,
I've been thinking this throughout our whole talk.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't watch Man of Steel, how do you think it would have affected you watching this movie?
That's a good question. That's a really good question, Mason.
Well, as a human who only watched about half of Man of Steel, I guess I wouldn't say I didn't know all that happened in Man of Steel, because
mm-hmm.
I wake up every once in a while and there's a loud boom in that
right,
movie.
Right.
I think you could still enjoy this film not seeing Man of Steel. I think you could. I think you could still get the story they're trying to tell from it.
I would agree in the idea of, I think you might be able to.
Yeah.
But things like, why are Lois and Clark living together?
Yeah,
how do they
true.
Know the relationship? What's going on with Perry White and Jenny and all this stuff? I think that there's some benefit in seeing Man of Steel. And when you think about even though this is not a, you know, Man of Steel was now announced as a trilogy of movies, you can see all of this stuff playing out
mm-hmm.
Through these movies. And so they're very interconnected at this point, with only two movies in, with the promise of more coming down the line. Those two movies, I think, are very interconnected, because you can't have the discussion of what do you do, how do you let someone go run around unchecked
mm-hmm.
without knowing, well, what's everybody complaining about?
I mean, but you do get a lot of that discussion through following Bruce through Metropolis.
True.
You can, I think, insinuate. Do you think that, Rob?
I think you probably get enough of the information from Man of Steel to
mm-hmm.
not have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of smaller things, smaller details that are just going to be lost.
Mm-hmm. I think
the biggest one is Clark and Lois living together.
And I agree. And I think, I guess I'm coming from a standpoint of people know Superman stories and they know the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if you have no idea
Lois and Clark is a thing that's been going on for decades, then I guess that would be confusing.
Yeah. I was actually
go ahead.
More surprised by them living together right away.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
it's been 18 months, right?
Well, I mean, we got none of the love story in the first movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they met for the first time.
Yeah, at the end of the movie.
Kind of at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. There's no love story there, and then they're living together.
2 years. I mean,
it's possible. Yeah. Just like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, no, well, yeah. That happened, apparently.
I think that plays into the general notion of we kind of know Superman mm-hmm. as a culture. Mm-hmm. And I really think you get enough of that story. I mean, of the love throughout that you're not like, that's weird.
Mason, do you think you would have been able to understand this movie if you hadn't seen Man of Steel?
I think I might have got a little bit of it, but some of the parts... I think you really need to watch Man of Steel to understand throughout the movie.
Okay, good question. What's your second question that you had?
After this, I have another one.
Okay,
great.
Superman has a backstory, right? About him being a kid and his parents sending him off to space to Earth.
Right.
But then yet, in the scene, it shows... kind of like the end of Man of Steel,
right, that was
almost.
The whole point. Yeah, to tie it together.
But then it shows kind of the beginning of Batman in the beginning of the movie.
Right.
I thought at first it's going to maybe show Superman as a kid and his parents sending him off, not him already as an adult fighting off General Zod.
Mm-hmm. And I think to answer your question on this is the last time that we saw a Batman movie, it was directed by a director by the name of Christopher Nolan. And before that, it was directed by, what's his name, Schlocky McSchlockerton.
Yep, that's right.
You go back far enough, you got Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Many times when directors get a hold of a big property, they want to put their stamp on it. They want to say, hey, I want people to know that this is my take on this story. So in Tim Burton's Batman from 1989, before Rob was even born, before Zach was
before
even
I was born.
You know, a director by the name of Tim Burton gave his take on Batman's origin and how Batman, how his parents died, how Bruce Wayne's parents died. Then when Christopher Nolan came in, he wanted to give his take on how Bruce Wayne's family died. Now we have a different director, Zack Snyder. He wants to put his stamp and say, well, this is my vision on why the death happened. There's also another part that I think is kind of important, because I'd mentioned that they play up on this night factor a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back, and I know everyone knows if you've read Batman long enough that they were coming from a Zorro showing.
Mm-hmm.
What's important in that sequence, if you're going to include it and have to include it, is the marquee behind them as they're walking.
Yeah.
It says, coming Wednesday, Excalibur, which was this huge night movie about the Knights of the Round Table and the Green Swords and all of this stuff. So that by the time Batman shows up at the end of this movie, he's dressed as a knight, and he has a sword or a javelin that a knight might have. So, you know, Zack Snyder is moving away from the Zorro mythos, although we did see a poster hanging up, into this knight Excalibur origin story. So long story short, Mason, different director wants to give his take on it. Why didn't we get to see a Man of Steel origin story? Because Zack Snyder directed Man of Steel, so he doesn't feel like he needs to tell us that origin story again. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. My final question, and then I'll be quiet for a while.
Okay.
If you read the comics, do you think this would spoil the movie at all for you?
Good question, because that's where I wanted to go. We'll go ahead and do it now, but I do want to come back and talk about all the actors and the characters.
Okay.
So, if you have read DC's New 52 Justice League movie, you have seen the Justice League series, the comic book series, the first 12 issues of that, you know what's coming up in this movie. You know what's going on. And let me explain why. First of all, we have a sequence where Batman is having a quote-unquote dream where there's all these paramilitary units, and we see parademons
flying parademons.
In.
Yeah.
Not just
we
the parademons.
See, we see the
giant
Omega,
friggin' Omega symbol
Omega
on the ground.
Burned
symbol.
Into the ground. That's all dark side.
Yeah. Then, oh, yeah, I forgot about the Omega symbol.
Then, as Bruce Wayne wakes up, there is somebody kind of dressed in red kind of stuff popping and screaming, saying, don't trust him, it's all a lie, blah, 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 and gets sucked out, and then he wakes up, and he's like, well, that's weird.
Well, first off, that made me giddy in my pants.
Yeah,
seeing
yeah
the
I was
flash
a little giddy.
Like,
my roommate, John, had that theory, that explicit theory, because he'd seen the pictures of the Flash and the like armory version of him, and it's like, what if the whole reason he's there is because he's coming back in time to prevent...
No, not coming back in time. Coming from a different universe. Coming from a different Earth.
You think
it's a different Earth?
Because if you read that Justice League series, Darkseid is moving from one universe to another and destroying each Earth in that process. That's how the whole Earth 2 storyline, how Power Girl and Huntress ended up on Earth, is because he was blowing up those... He was destroying the Earth, and they were escaping through those boom tubes. So, flash forward. Again, if you have read the if you've read that Justice League series at the end where you're hearing Lex Luthor going, he's coming, ding 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 ding. That's the mother that's the cube.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the not the mother
ping,
box.
Mother box, yeah.
Yeah, the mother box. It's the ping ping ping. He's saying ping ping ping. And if you read that Justice League story again, all throughout that, there's a character that's going, I hear these ping 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 pings. Final piece of the puzzle here is Cyborg's creation. His dad is sitting there, I'm authorizing this blah, blah, blah thing, this cube, spin up and do that thing. That's the cube. That's the mother box cube.
Sweet.
So it all ties into this whole Darkseid thing that's coming in Justice League. And if you have read the DC's New 52, this played out almost like an adaptation of the first 12 issues of the Justice League, or at least part of it. It was weird. Whenever I saw that, I was like, holy crap, they're doing this. But then again, for people like Mason or other people who have not seen this before, totally lost on, it's going to be totally lost on the audience, which again, so that's my theory, is that it's an adaptation of that. And so it wasn't a future, it was a parallel Earth, which, if you follow what Diane Nelson, Jim Lee, Greg Berlanti have all said, they're like, hey, look, we've established that there's a multiverse, the Batman-Superman stuff is in its own multiverse. The CBS stuff is in its own multiverse first. The CW stuff is in its own multiverse. They're playing up the whole multiverse thing throughout.
And so then they'll do crazy crossovers once they get Darkseid and just like destroying. They're like, all the shows are going to get canceled. Too bad. We're going to end them all by Darkseid destroying them all.
Could be. But for people that are wondering, I think Bruce was tapping into another dimension. That's my theory. Another universe. You still think it's the future?
I think it's probably the future.
Because I
thought it was Flash coming back to warn him. He's like, no, Lois is the key. Don't let her die. That's the gist of what I got from what Flash was saying.
Well, you know, what would have been great for that theory? Because I think he came back in time. I think Flash came back in time.
Could very well be.
What would have been great for your theory is if they got the Flash TV actor to do that crossover. That would have been insane. Because it's not like you could see clearly enough. Because I think if you look at that image of him talking to Bruce compared to the security cam footage when Wonder Woman's clicking through all the files and you see Flash, they don't quite, like, it's not enough you can compare them to. So if it was just
it
enough difference.
It would have been nice if they would have done that to where that would have been Grant and Gustin, because that would have been
That would have been amazing.
But it also would not have made sense in what's going on currently.
Well,
I don't know
what's happening in there.
In Man of Steel, there is a moment where Superman is destroying the world machine, and a lot of people pointed this out. Some people didn't see this. I don't know if you saw this, Rob, but at one point it looked like Henry Cavill's face looked like Christopher Reeve when he's destroying that. A lot of people saw this and they were wondering, oh, is there some manipulation going on to kind of subtly play into the audience's thought that, hey, Cavill is just as good as Christopher Reeve. In this movie, when Superman has come up and he's holding the spear and he's, you know, almost passing out from being underwater, and he's about to, and he's kissing Amy Adams, Lois Lane, he looks like a depowered Christopher Reeves from like Superman 2. It was really weird. I was like, gosh, that really is a weird resemblance. And I didn't know if you guys caught that or not.
I'm not as familiar with it as you are.
Mason doesn't know who. Yeah. Mason doesn't even know who Christopher Reeves is.
For the comics, how you said it spoils the movie?
It doesn't necessarily spoil the movie, but it could potentially spoil what's coming.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Are there comics already out that they made, that DC made, that is about part one and part two of the Justice
League? Well, that's what I said. Read Justice League. The new 52 Justice League, I think, is the clearest indication of where they're going. You can also read The Dark Knight Returns, which is kind of the basis for this whole Batman-Superman fight. In fact, the whole Batman-Superman fight is based on that final chapter. I already said when Superman gets nuked up in space, that comes from the nuclear bomb that they set off at the end of the Dark Knight Returns volume, and how he gets re-energized and rebuilt from the sun. So yeah, there's all that. And then of course there's the birth and death of Superman, where Superman fights Doomsday. We've reviewed that on the Major Spoilers podcast. In fact, I think we've reviewed all of those titles over on the Major Spoilers podcast. So there's all of that that people can go to as source material. But as I said earlier, I like this movie because of its comic book ties and me being able to pick up on this. But if you're not familiar with all this stuff, you may not like it. If you hated Man of Steel, you're probably not going to like this, and I can totally back you on that. And if your enjoyment of this movie is based on Zack Snyder's retelling of comic book stuff and your knowledge of comic book information, then this movie ultimately fails if it's relying on the audience to already know this stuff coming in.
Yeah. I had a specific thought. My biggest problem with Doomsday right now is my favorite character is also one of my favorite DC characters is the first person to go up against Doomsday right after Superman dies.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to be in here.
Booster Gold.
Ever. Yes.
Yeah. Booster Gold. Well, you don't
know that. Okay.
Well, we've got Rebirth coming up in a week. This weekend. Hello, Future People. They said there's big things planned for Booster Gold. So if there's big things planned for Booster Gold in the comics, what do you bet? It might align with the movies.
I will be 100% stoked for that.
Doomsday's dead.
My problem. Is like the Booster's supposed to be the person who comes up and take the punch. That's
all right.
That's that moment that Booster is the hero.
Everybody loved Ben Affleck as Batman Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Everyone's still on board with Superman Henry Cavill.
I'm fine with it.
No problems.
Lois Lane and Amy Adams.
First off, I just want to acknowledge, why is she just listed as Lois? They never say
that's
Lane.
True. Yeah, that's true.
Even in the credits, it's just Lois.
Yeah.
If it drives him to the wall, I don't understand it.
Diane Lane, good as Martha Kent, return.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne, Perry White.
Sure.
Yeah.
Any problem with Jeremy Irons as Alfred?
I liked him as Alfred.
He's a bit salty.
I liked him. Yeah, he's good.
Salty and surly.
Let me give you one other thing. Had they edited that a little differently, it could have been another out of Batman not killing people, because we find out that Alfred has the ability to control the bat plane remotely. Had they flipped that edit around, and had Alfred firing those the guns, Batman would not have been killing anyone.
Yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm.
So I really did dig Jeremy Irons as Alfred. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a good choice. Holly Hunter as Senator Finch.
Sure.
Yeah, she's fine.
It's fine?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the big two.
Alfred,
Gal Gadot.
Yeah? Quick thing about Alfred.
Okay.
I don't think he looked like the cartoon Alfred or the comic Alfred.
Yeah, he doesn't look. He's much older, right, at this point in his life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you should read a book, and here might be another book that people might want to reference. You should not read it because you're too young to read it. Batman Earth 1, Volume 1.
Yeah.
Because that Alfred in this movie seems to be more in line with the Alfred from that book.
He also kind of feels like the Alfred from Gotham.
Maybe a little bit,
A little bit darker, a little bit more willing to backtalk Bruce.
Yep.
Of course, that one's because Bruce is a kid, but...
Yep. Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman. Did you like Wonder Woman in this movie? I really like her.
Wonder Woman was awesome. I think Wonder Woman might actually be my favorite part.
Just, a lot of people have said that. A lot of people who have come out said people were clapping and hooting and hollering when Wonder Woman showed up. I mean, she was really good. I really like it. I like the mystery behind this character. I've said it before that the Wonder Woman movie feels very much like it's going to be a Captain America movie, and I love the very first Captain America movie. Mm-hmm. Captain America set in World War II. Wonder Woman will be set in World War I.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
You saw the picture, right? It said 1918.
Yeah. I was stoked to find out she had been part in. I didn't realize that they were actually there. Yeah.
Captain America has
like
Peggy Carter. Wonder Woman has Steve Trevor. He's in that picture from there. I really like Wonder Woman, and she was super awesome. I mean, there's this part where Doomsday knocks her down, and her weapon and everything has fallen away, and it's an odd, awkward angle for her to be splayed out like she is. But you see, there's a smile on her face that she is enjoying this fight. Mm-hmm.
She shakes the hit, turns to grab the sword, and just grins.
And she's just smiling because she enjoys this battle.
Yeah.
Like, no, Gal Gadot was a phenomenal choice.
I agree.
Wonder Woman.
Everyone was like, oh, I don't know. And then everyone's like, holy frick.
Did you like Wonder Woman, Mason?
Yeah.
What did you like best about Wonder Woman?
I don't really know. I kind of liked everything about her.
Mm-hmm. That's a good answer.
And she busted out all of the sweet weapons.
Oh, yeah, she did.
They didn't show her the invisible jet, though. I was like, we're going to see her in the invisible jet. She's going to get off the airplane. She's going to jump in an invisible seat. How else would she have got there? She got there in the invisible jet.
So we didn't see everything. We saw her shield. We saw...
I was just saying the airplane was on the ground still.
We saw shield. We saw sword. We saw bracelets or bracers. Yes. We didn't see her use her tiara as a boomerang.
I think that one might be a little outdated at this point.
Maybe. But yeah,
the lasso was sweet.
Good. Yeah, the lasso
was there.
Awesome. Oh my God, the lasso.
Yeah.
So, and again, I'm being devil's advocate because I really love Wonder Woman in this. I'm not trying to put the character down, but let's play a devil's advocate for a moment.
All right.
Do you think enough people know Wonder Woman to understand all of her powers and what she is capable of?
No. Not at all. Even I don't. I was like, sure. She's super freaking fast. All right. Great.
So I wonder, and we haven't seen the Wonder Woman movie.
No.
But in DC or Warner Brothers' attempt to be like Marvel, and I'm not saying that they are, but in their attempt to be similar in let's build this world-building thing, Marvel went about it with character, team.
Yeah.
This one kind of went from team to now let's go back and talk about each of these characters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That could be problematic, I think. And with Wonder Woman especially, where suddenly she's whipped out this magic lasso and people are like, what is this thing? What does it do?
I think the lasso is iconic enough with Wonder Woman that they are going to get that.
Yeah.
I don't think the thing I'm wondering is if people are going to understand that Wonder Woman is basically on the same power level as Superman. That's the part that I think people are going to be surprised and confused
about.
And
the other thing that I'll be interested in seeing if they touch on, because Wonder Woman's powers are based on magic, if they will ever touch on this thing about the Kryptonian weakness to magic. Because, you know, ultimately Doomsday is being brought down by magical weapons.
Yeah.
Losing his hand, losing his arm, leg, whatever. As she cuts him, it's a magical weapon. Of course, she could also be just super strong, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. But I wonder if they will, because that's, again, another comic book tie in that. So, all right. Last but not least, because it's the one that surprised the hell out of me.
Yes.
Jesse Eisenberg is Lex Luthor.
Holy frick. Two thumbs up. I loved it.
The minute that he was announced as Lex Luthor, I was like, boo, hiss, this is going to suck.
Even the first trailer, I thought, I am not going to watch an entire movie of this man speaking like this.
Now that you understand his craziness.
Yeah.
And the way he's played out in this whole thing, I was like, holy crap. This is actually a Lex Luthor I can get behind.
Well, it was like the Joker. I mean, honestly, it was
maybe a little bit too much Joker, but definitely it's not Gene Hackman crazy.
No.
You can see a little bit of the Joker zaniness, craziness in there.
Well, when he throws the pictures of Martha, I'm like, come on. Killing Joke.
Just some unhinged moments. I just really like that. Now, Rob, you're
Rob's
ready to jump in.
I really liked Jesse Eisenberg's character.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't Lex Luthor.
Except that, if you go back and read the comics, Lex Luthor comes off as somebody that knows what he's talking about. And in the beginning of the movie, he is kind of that way. And people could say, oh, he's a little bit eccentric because he gave that speech at the library and everything. He's just being weird and everything and telling a story. And he could be that way. But then when Lex Luthor goes all power suit and, you know, starts jumping into crazy machines, he's like, eyes are wild and his hands are clenched in the air. And Jesse Eisenberg does kind of pull that off at the end.
Yeah, but Lex Luthor dealing with people.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't supposed to be, he's not supposed to have that wild, zany feel when he's supposed to be the charismatic villain that managed to get himself elected president.
Yes.
Okay. I see that. Now, when I was watching this, I was like, okay, forget Social Network. Forget that he played Mark Zuckerberg for a second.
Yeah, he is very much doing that same thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He is a current day mega corporation CEO. Mm-hmm. Like that, he's that. He is that character. Mm-hmm. Lex Luthor, you know, the heyday of Lex 90s and stuff, got that CEO down. Jesse Eisenberg plays a modern day huge mega corporation CEO. Like, I think, like, amazing, like, probably a little over the top, but like, he has that characteristic. He's all over the place. He's like kind of young. I don't know. How old do you think he is in this movie?
Jesse Eisenberg?
No, I mean, in this movie, how old do you think Lex is supposed to be?
It's between you and me. He's probably 35 in the movie.
Oh, you think so? I think he's like 28, maybe 30.
Yeah, I think he's somewhere between me and Zach.
Because he talked about his dad dying. Well, because how old do you think Superman is?
It's probably about the same age. I mean, they're both about 30, 35.
Yeah, I could see them being like 30.
I just, Jesse Eisenberg has a very boyish face, which makes him play younger. But I always see that Superman and Lex Luthor are roughly the same age.
Yeah, that's fair.
How old, actual age? What are
Eisenberg was born in 83.
So what's that, 33?
32 at this
32.
Point. Yeah, and he's a year older than I am.
And
a
little less than 83. They're both the exact same age. Just a couple months off. So, there you go. I really liked it. I was going in, I'm going to hate this. And I was like, you know what? This is a movie. This is someone's interpretation of the story, which is fine. Everybody has a different interpretation. But I really kind of dug it at the end after I just let go of any kind of hatred or prejudice that I had going into this movie. And really, honestly, I'm being honest, and I know I'm super excited about this, and I've been known to say I love Batman, and Dark Knight Returns is a seminal book for me, but I really enjoyed this story because I just let it go and said, this is someone's interpretation of these characters and events.
Well, I mean,
it had been awful, I'd be here saying, well, and I was really prepared coming back going, okay, what are some things that I could talk about that would really make this movie, if this movie is awful, how do I want to approach this topic? I didn't think it was awful.
No. I don't think it's the best movie ever made. I think technically,
there is some odd CG stuff.
Oh God, yeah, there was some weird CG stuff.
Bad as the Avengers, though.
Age of Ultron. You're right. I still think Zack Snyder. Like you know when you walk into a dark room, and your eyes have to adjust to the darkness. That's a Zack Snyder movie right now. It's incredibly dark. You're like, how dark is this movie? And you get to about 3/4 of the way through, you're like, oh, okay, it's not as dark anymore. But I'm sure if I went and started watching it again, like this movie is incredibly too dark.
I do like Zack Snyder. I do like his movies, but I think it might be in Warner Brothers' best interest to hand Justice League off to someone else.
I agree. Zack Snyder needs to make about a $20 million action film again.
Yeah.
Now I was going to say with the darkness, there's actually points in the movie where just because explosions can't be dark, where I'm having to look away because I can't see at all because all of a sudden the screen's bright white.
Talking about symbolism again with the Batman as this knight with the Excalibur and the Superman buried in a pine box. When Superman is dead and you have Batman on the left and you've got Wonder Woman on the light on the right, you've got Lois cradling him and she is lit up. Yeah. There's like this one shaft of light that comes in and lights them up, and it's a painting is essentially what it is. And it's just like, wow, they're really painting this as this is a fresco someday. This is a frieze on some column. They're really setting up myth. And I think that's the other thing that's really interesting about for people that want to get into Marvel versus DC, where people are like, well, I like Marvel because it's grounded in reality. That's true, because Marvel stories take place in New York and real cities and real places that people can go to. DC movies are set in a really mythical, fictional universe of Gotham and Metropolis and Themyscira and all this stuff where it's supposed to be fantasy. It's supposed to be literary. It's supposed to not be
modern mythology.
Yeah, it is modern mythology. And I really kind of dug that about this movie.
I agree.
They did a really good job of setting that up. There was a few points where there was some Jesus symbolism that I was a little...
Is it the one where all the crosses turned upside down and freaked the crap out of
itself? No, I love that part. That part was
amazing.
Okay,
so what Jesus metaphor? I mean, but for a long time, though, Superman has been compared to a Christ figure.
Yeah, and we don't need it. There was one point where I think Batman had a Jesus symbolism thing. I'm trying to remember all the because it's only for a short moment. I know there's the one with Superman when he's in space.
Right, right.
Again, when he's in space.
Yeah. Oh yeah, if you right look at the way he's posed, I mean, they're like
he's straight out.
And there's also poses like what is it, Michelangelo's the Madonna holding Christ after he's been taken down from the cross, and how he's kind of laid out very much like that, like really borrowing heavily from art to create this mythical story. I can see that. I can also see where that can be a problem. Yeah. What are some problems? What is something that you really hated? What's the thing that you hated the most about this movie?
I don't know.
that it just ended. That it was over and you couldn't just watch it again immediately?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the most funniest part of the movie to you?
There's not a whole lot of funny stuff, but there is the part where, and I think it got the biggest laugh in the audience, and you know about words, but where Doomsday takes down the bat plane, and Batman can't get unbuckled enough, and he just has this, oh shit, this is the end.
Yeah.
Eep.
And yeah, I think Alfred, nice. I think for other funny marks, Alfred provides a lot of comedy relief, especially about the whole thing about, you know, oh, your children won't have, or something about your...
There won't be any wine for the next generation.
Yeah.
Or they're going to inherit an empty wine cellar.
You're going to need to find a good metropolis woman to tie you down.
Make you honest.
Make an honest man.
I think that was the funny part, but what I also kind of liked about it was... the Granny's peach tea part.
Oh, because what was that supposed to be?
Pee.
Yeah, that was kind of nice.
I didn't know if you were going to catch on to that or not, so I'm glad you caught on to all the pee humor that was throughout that movie.
Yeah, it was nice.
Speaking of that scene, Lex Luthor killing off Mercy.
Yeah, man, that was brutal. That was brutal.
Sacrifices have to be made, right? Especially if you let Bruce Wayne walk off with a copy of everything in your computer system.
I understand that, but it was just like, why introduce Mercy specifically, you know, like the canon immigrant from the original Superman series, and then just kill her off? Unless your theory is any assistant he has is going to be named Mercy.
Any assistant is going to be named Mercy. That's a very good one. But there's another reason too. The actress playing her is from China. Chinese actress, very, I think, fairly well known in China. I think it was also as a kind of a ploy to get the movie more hyped in China. They did the same thing with Wolverine, and they did the same thing with, there was another movie.
All of the Marvel movies, because they go to China now.
Because one of the more recent Marvel movies had the same thing where they were just putting in these Chinese actresses and actors because they knew that that's what would pack it over in China. So that may have been it. But I was disappointed to see
Mercy
get killed.
Honestly, she was a character.
Yeah,
I didn't understand that.
Anything else we need to cover? Oh.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are going to, if people want to read things into this, here's my other one, crazy one that I came up with today.
Oh, good.
And it has to do with internet hate, right?
Okay.
So very recently, there's been some friends of mine, a lot of my friends who have some internet personality have just been dumped on left and right by internet trolls. You know, the classic, go kill yourself, I hope you get cancer.
Sure.
You know, all this kind of stuff.
The classic
just go
internet.
Die. All the classic internet things that you see. And then I've been really thinking about this because it's been not bothering me like, oh, I'm going to break down and cry kind of stuff, but more from what causes people to have these reactions so vehemently. And one thing that I've come up with is that internet haters are jealous, right? They're jealous of what the internet celebrity has, and they will do whatever it takes to chip away at what they have. So from that internet troll's mind, the internet celebrity is a god, this unattainable thing that they will never reach. So let's apply that to Batman v Superman. Here's Superman, this god, this unattainable thing that no one will be able to take down, except for the single white male living in his parents' basement.
That is very good.
What does Batman do?
Yeah.
He lives in his parents' basement in the Batcave, right?
No.
I'm talking Batman. Batman is a single white male.
Yeah.
It's a Batcave, but it's below Wayne Manor. It's his parents' basement, right?
Uh-huh.
It's... And then I mentioned this briefly on Twitter today, and there was a great comeback. Let me see if I can find that person's Twitter really quick because it was classic. Because I just said, oh, hey, Batman is a single white male, lives in his parents' basement. This is all starting to make sense about all of this hatred that's going on. And Brian, I'm sorry, 20th Primarch.
Oh, yeah, I know Brian.
Retweeted back and said, it's not a basement, Mom. It's a bat cave.
Well, so does Lex, though. Like Lex
has all these toys. He has a man cave.
Yeah, he lives in his parents' basement. Well, he even says in his library speech, which is, I think is very important to the character of Lex Luthor, he like fumbles around. He's like, well, what does that make me? Because he's dressed this lowly, smart guy with no powers, which was very telling on his character.
If people want to take another commentary on this, try to apply something else, it is about internet hate. Zack Snyder is doing an internet hate movie.
Sure.
I'll take it. Yeah. Sure. I'll run with it. That's fine.
Bottom line, Mason, did you enjoy this movie?
Yes.
Would you recommend other people see it?
Yes, but I'm not very accurate because I say that to every movie I watch.
But well, you also, that's only because I take you to really awesome movies, right?
Yeah.
Is it just because he lets you see the good ones?
Yeah.
Do you think people should go and see this movie?
Like you said, it depends on if they like previous movies or previous comics. And like you said, if you didn't like Man of Steel, you might not like this movie.
Yeah. Rob?
I would recommend this. I think my enjoyment of the film got better with our discussion.
Okay.
I came out of the theater with a bit more negativity.
Interesting.
Okay.
Built into it, but
what else was negative about it for you?
I think I actually touched on a lot of my points. I think I was the voice of dissent for most of this review.
Cool. Yeah,
that's cool. A lot of our discussion made me put it in more perspective as to exactly what's going on with a lot of them. But the opening sequence I didn't like. Batman killing people I didn't like. What was the point of having Aquaman and
because there's Cyborg. A movie and we have to find them.
You're right. In the scheme of parts we could have taken out, maybe the 5-minute sequence of where we just watch future characters for another movie in two years.
Or that the other thing that I thought that why it was important to see those things in there is because Batman or Bruce Wayne knows that Lex Luthor is probably up to no good. And he's starting to put pieces together. What I've liked to have seen in this movie is maybe a flip where Batman had set a bunch of things up to cause the showdown between Superman, force Superman's hand to kind of reveal to him why he should let him live or not, but at the same time have already set up a bunch of stuff for against Lex Luthor. Because Mason and I both agreed that the moment where Lois Lane is trapped in the water and after she threw the spear down in there, because it's right next to the bay and the harbor, I honestly thought that that's where they were going to have Aquaman come out of the water, save her with the spear, and join in the fight.
That's really what I was expecting there, too. Like, as soon as she dropped it in the water, like, oh, well, this is how Aquaman joins the picture.
Yeah.
We're Cyborg.
Yeah. So, again, bottom line for me, I really enjoyed this from a comic book perspective. I thought it was really comic booky, and while it may not be a faithful adaptation, it's true to... I honestly think it's true to much of what goes on in comics. Whether people want to agree with me or not, that's my belief, and that's where I'm going to stand. But I do think that this movie can be considered a failure because not everyone has that knowledge. And because everyone doesn't have that knowledge, yes, this movie may have been the worst movie that someone has ever seen. And I can totally understand if people are taking that stance, totally understand it, and totally support you. But for this person, I thought it was wonderful.
I would agree. I went into this film with an incredibly low expectations, and I thought it was going to be utter garbage. I think I was wrong on a lot of points. I thought it was much more enjoyable than it is. I think technically the film has some troubling issues with just weird camera shots and editing and the coloring. I was thinking in the middle of this film, which is not great, I was like, I would love to see the flat image of this and how much they put in the color timing in, because I'm sure it's just insane.
Yeah.
Because you're not shooting that dark. So that is troubling. I thought the story was much better than I thought. what I thought mm-hmm. was just going to be two guys punching each other the entire time.
I did not think the story was disjointed at all. People are like, this is a very disjointed story. And I'm like, no, I understand every little bit that's going on in here.
That's a good point. I don't think the story is disjointed. I think it is a solid story when you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that the cut from one sequence to another is rough
somewhat,
and has some mm-hmm. and has some probably yeah. some fine tuning or just yeah. some weird things. You are jumping to a lot of characters,
right?
Not in a confusing manner. It's not like it's Cloud Atlas or anything.
Unfortunately, again, it goes back to that comic book thing. Those of us that have read comic books for a long time, we're used to. Here's a couple of opening panels of things going on
yeah.
in this situation. Here's a couple of panels going on in this situation. Here's a couple of panels going on in this situation. And it is very abrupt like that mm-hmm. in the comic mm-hmm. book story. So, I can understand where people are going to come away with that.
Yeah.
I think it's disjointed. I think you don't think it's disjointed because, as you know, my dad's read the comics. And he knows a lot more about the movie than mm-hmm. me.
Yeah. That's fine. It's fine if
people.
You thought, I mean, if that's a criticism.
So
I can totally understand where you're coming
why,
from.
Might be why you're saying it's not disjointed and some
True.
Other people are saying.
True. No, you're absolutely right. And there will be a lot of people who will not like this
yeah.
movie.
Mm-hmm. So I am concerned that I think critic reviews, which I think are probably way too hard on this movie, are going to deter people from seeing it, which I think I honestly think I would recommend it to people to go see it. I think it is like
yeah.
super fun time.
Sadly, Zack Snyder, Warner Brothers, Henry Cavill, Ben Affleck are not listening to this podcast, which
no,
they
not.
Should.
Yeah.
If someone's listening to this and can get this episode into their hands, please do so.
Yeah.
I would really appreciate it.
And so I'm also worried about the financial success of this film and how it affects their future plans.
I've talked to a couple of people.
Yeah.
And originally, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, this movie was only tracking for $100, $150 million weekend worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
It's now looking at $300 to $350 million for the opening weekend. So
Wow. That's
what it was tracking with as of Monday.
Okay.
Friday, before when the first premiere was, whatever that first premiere
yeah.
was, when people started going out on the
yeah.
internet and saying it was great. It's before the reviewers had done it.
Mm-hmm.
It was tracking to $300, $350 million. I think it'll hit a billion, the people that I've talked to.
Really?
Really think it'll hit a billion in its theatrical
because of
run.
Like a lot of overseas?
A lot of, from worldwide, yes.
Yeah.
It'll hit a billion worldwide without
a
problem.
Yeah, sure.
Apparently the budget is $200 million and you double that for...
marketing, yeah.
A&R
yeah.
and or P&R and so or P&A
probably should go.
So it'll easily cover its cost here in the United States, and so all of the international will be just gravy, I think.
I'll wrap it up with this. Critic score right now, as of this moment, 10/22.
Mm-hmm.
Critic score is at 30%.
Mm-hmm.
User score is at 77.
That is actually down a little bit more from...
The critic, I think, is down from earlier.
Oh, the highest I saw the critic score was 36%.
Yeah.
And I think the highest I saw the audience was 78% earlier.
Yeah.
So I think if it comes out, I don't think it'll end up being fresh because they only do fresh based on the critic's response. But again, if you want to listen to the Sheboygan review... tell you not to go see this movie, go right ahead, because that's what the Sheboygan review said.
Yeah.
But if they're going to be considered as someone that Rotten Tomatoes calculates into it, yeah, there's people are going to hate this movie. There are going to
yeah.
be people that are going to hate this movie simply because of Ben Affleck. There are people who are going to hate this movie simply because it's a comic book movie, and why are we paying so much heed to the comic book movies?
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are going to come in with their various biases. I tried to be non-biased as much as I could. I didn't want it to be, but I was really anticipating this movie not being good.
Mm-hmm. So was
I think ultimately this will end up at about a 75%
user
rating.
Yeah, I see that.
And that's,
yeah.
to me, is a success.
I think
that's
a
success.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that was a lot better conversation than I thought we were going to have about 2 o'clock this afternoon about this
too,
movie.
Yeah. Me too, me too.
Which is a great thing. If you enjoyed this conversation, head over to
Spoilers. I want
to
see it again.
Yeah, do you?
I do.
Really?
One thing I noticed was, this is totally just me.
Great.
But at the first part of the movie,
uh-huh.
When he was Bruce Wayne was kind of running around in Metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but he looked almost like a shaved Chris Pratt to me.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
So Ben Affleck looks like Chris Pratt.
I bet Ben Affleck would enjoy that.
Maybe.
Well, Chris Pratt's younger. He's in shape. He's good.
I thought Ben Affleck was in fantastic shape.
Yeah, he still is. I'm just saying. Yeah, good times. Good times. Head over to MajorSpoilers.com. You could talk all about this episode and Batman v Superman on the podcast posting page. And give your thoughts about that there. While you're there, click on the Amazon.com link where you can go buy your very own copy of the graphic novel, The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, I'm going to guess, the first volume or 12 issues of The Justice League and The New 52 from DC if you want to kind of get a jump on Steven's theories.
I really would go check that out.
It's not going to cost you any extra when you use that link, but a little bit will come back to Major Spoilers so Steven can spend more time thinking up crazy theories for the DC Cinematic Universe.
I've got a million of them.
Great. And that's it for this week's episode of Zach on Film. See you next week.
Podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.